Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here, and it's good to see so many children here. Don't know if you know it, but yesterday was the first soccer day for many of our young ones. Not just my son, Stefan, but Alex told me he had his first game and that they won 3-1. Of course, Isaiah, I heard his team lost. Not everybody can win. And I heard, and I was shocked, Nicole plays soccer. I picture Nicole as this pretty little young woman, and I heard she had a bloody nose playing soccer yesterday. And I still cannot imagine this beautiful little girl, this beautiful young lady with blood coming out of her nose. I got to watch half of Maria's game. I know they were winning 1-0 when I left. If they won, I don't know. But I got to watch the only goal of the game. I know Miguel played yesterday somewhere on Vero Beach. I have no idea where that is, but it sounds far away. But you can encourage these young people by asking them and talking to them about soccer, because that helps to show the love of God and shows them that you care as Christians, as part of being a Christian. And part of our topic today, the submissive mind and the servant's heart. My text was already read today in two parts. The first part was read this morning before class. The second part was read just here shortly. But I'm going to go ahead and read it to you again. So let's open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. I will be happy to learn how you are. I have no one else like Timothy who truly cares for you. Other people are only interested in their own lives, not in the work of Jesus Christ. You know the kind of person Timothy is. You know he has served with me in telling the good news, as a son serves his father. I plan to send him to you quickly when I know what will happen to me. I am sure that the Lord will help me to come to you soon. Epaphroditus, my brother in Christ, works and serves with me in the army of Christ. When I need help, you sent him to me. I think now that I must send him back to you because he wants very much to see all of you. He is worried because you heard that he was sick. Yes, he was sick and nearly died. But God had mercy on him and on me too, so that I would not have more sadness. I want very much to send him to you so that when you see him, you can be happy and I can stop worrying about you. Welcome him in the Lord with much joy. Give honor to people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to give me the help you could not give in your service to me. We're talking here about the submissive mind, the mind of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus did not think it was unworthy of himself to become a servant. A lot of us think others should be serving me, but Christ said, I came to serve you. The Christ, Jesus, God himself came to serve us. And this is the mind that Paul is teaching us that we need to have as Christians. Jesus. Many of us would say, he's God. God can do everything. Yes, He served us. But I am not God. I can't do it. Paul then used himself as an example and served and almost died himself many, many times. And what do we know? What would we say? Oh, Paul. Paul was a super apostle. He probably had a big S on his shirt. I cannot do what Paul did. I'm sorry, I'm just not a super apostle. Paul said, good. Then let me talk to you about two men. Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two normal Christians. It's, in Germany, they have an interesting phrase that I always love to use. And it almost comes over in English the same. They say, es stink normal Mensch. You recognize those words? Yeah. Just a normal, everyday Joe. And that is Timothy and Epaphroditus. Remember Timothy? He was the guy that was so timid that Paul had to encourage him to use his gift. Because he was afraid to use the gift that God gave him. He was timid. Epaphroditus. We don't know too much about him, but we're going to take a look at him today. But Epaphroditus, we don't hear a whole lot of him except a little bit here from Paul. So, two normal Christians who had the submissive mind and were ready to work in the name of Jesus Christ. First, let's take a look at Timothy. Timothy, from what we know from what Paul has said, was from the town of, well, he was probably either from two possible towns. I can't remember. It was either Lystra, Derbe, or Iconium, because we read in the text that the brethren at both Lystra and Iconium highly praised him to Paul, and Paul would later use him in his missionary journeys. But we know that he was probably converted as a youth. And who played a large role in the conversion of Timothy? Mother and the grandmother. His father was a Greek. We don't know much about him. But Paul said, it was your mother and your grandmother who taught you the faith of Jesus Christ. That's a hint for you mothers and grandmothers out there. It was these two Christian women that helped Timothy not only to become a Christian, but to become a submissive servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Timothy, we can learn about the submissive mind, the mind of a servant. When Timothy was baptized, did he pop up out of the water, the perfect servant? Did he pop up ready with that submissive mind to serve his fellow Christians? Don't know, but I doubt it very seriously. Paul knew what we should know. He knew Timothy had to develop the mind of a servant. The mind of Christ, a submissive mind. We know that Timothy had the servant's mind. What did we just read? It said here that Timothy cared about people. Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy because why? I know he truly cares about you. How do you know when someone truly cares about you? Do we notice when someone truly cares? Sometimes it's little things. Maybe a little flower. Maybe just to cut out a poem and give it to somebody. Maybe just a postcard sent saying, I'm thinking about you. But we know when someone truly cares. And Paul said, Timothy truly cares about you. Paul was concerned about the church at Philippi. He was concerned because he heard what Epaphroditus had said about Philippi when he came. And I'm saying Philippi, you corrected me this morning, Charlie, and I'm already forgot. Well, how do you say it in English?
Philippi.
In German is Philippi. In German, I've learned now. In Philippi. And he's learning to serve people. It's interesting. Verse 21, we read it. He said, Timothy cares about you. But listen to what he says about some others. In 20, he said, I have no one else like Timothy who truly cares for you. And then verse 21, other people are interested only in their own lives, not in the work of the church, in the work of Christ. Where do we stand? Are we a Philippians 2:20? Or are we personally a Philippians 2:21? Where do we stand? Are we interested in people? I mentioned, I'm going to use Alex today as my little example. I was out here, I'm listed on this thing as a greeter. I didn't know exactly what a greeter was supposed to do, so I was greeting people. And I was handing out bulletins. And Alex came to me, and here is the servant's mind. Alex came to me and he said, what can I do to help? How many of you ever say that? How many of you ever think about asking, what can I do to help? The servant's mind. Timothy, a young Christian, was concerned about the welfare of others. It's too bad that some of these other Christians in Rome were so concerned about themselves that they had no time to help Paul in prison. Had no time to take message back to Philippi for him. They were busy with their own lives and their own things. I think about the words of Jesus himself. Remember, he said in some of his parables, well done. What? Well done? My good and faithful service. You guys were the best spectators around. No, what does it mean when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant? It means what? You were serving. If you ain't serving, you're not going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because Timothy had the servant mind, I'm sure he will hear one day from the Lord personally, well done, Timothy, my good and my faithful servant. Because there's one more saying that Jesus said at the same time. Remember what that part was? Depart from me, for I know you not. The servant's mind. Timothy cared about other people. But how does one develop the servant's mind? Now, I think that's the second trait of Timothy. Timothy had a servant's training. When Timothy was first baptized, did Paul grab him and say, let's go on a missionary journey? No. What did Paul do? He left Timothy where? In Lystra. In the downtown shopping center? He left him within the church. Where do you learn to be a servant? You learn to be a servant within the church of God. You learn to be a servant when you participate within the church. To participate. What's a good definition of to participate? Take part in. To work. Is Christianity a spectator sport? I'm sorry, it's not. Christianity is an active religion. It is active in serving God and mankind. And when you want to learn to serve, when you want to learn the servant's heart, how do you learn it? In participating in the work of God in your own home congregation. Do you want to learn to be a preacher? You know how I got started preaching? I point to him. L.B. Chastain. He asked me, I guess I was a teenager, and he asked me, Monty, do you want to preach? Well, first off, you can think of the shock. Me? Most people, because I have this funny voice, think, Monty, a preacher? But this man here, a good and faithful servant, asked me to preach. I think my first sermon was 10 minutes. And then, one day, I saw that the teenagers didn't have their own class. And I asked the elders, well, can I teach it? Because there was no teacher to teach the teenagers. And they said, yes. A teenager teaching teenagers. But I did it. I grew. And then the elders trusted me enough that they said, Monty, do you want to go to Jamaica? We have a missionary there. And the elders paid my way that I could go on a campaign in Jamaica. I'm saying that to show you. Would I have grown? Would I have developed a servant's attitude if LB and the elders hadn't trusted me to preach, to teach a class, and to go to Jamaica? I doubt it very seriously. We need to develop roots within the church. We need to learn, if I want to be Christ-like, I have to learn to serve somewhere. And God has given us the church where we can develop and grow. And if we are not active, we will not grow spiritually. And if we don't set the example for our children will never develop a faith in God that will save them when Jesus comes again. We need to develop the servant's heart. We need to develop leadership. And that only comes from being active in the church. Let me read to you 1 Timothy 3:6 through 7. But an elder must not be a new believer, or he might be proud of himself and judge guiltily, just as the devil was. An elder must also have the respect of people who are not in the church, so he will not be criticized by others and caught in the devil's trap. To become an elder, one has to develop within the church. One has to learn what it means to be a servant. Believe me, these men have a hard job who are elders. They are in charge of your spiritual soul. They must answer before God for this congregation. Are you making it hard for them? Are you complaining behind their backs? These men have a hard job. The responsibility is on their shoulders. Do you respect them? They have developed the servant's heart by participating within the church before they were ever named elders. 2 Timothy 3:10 and through 17. But you have followed what I teach, the way I live, my goal, faith, patience, and love. You know I never give up. You know how I have been hurt and have suffered as in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. I have suffered, but the Lord saved me from all those troubles. Everyone who wants to live as God desires in Christ Jesus will be hurt. But people who are evil and cheat others will go from bad to worse. They will fool others, but they will also be fooling themselves. But you should continue following the teaching you learned. You know they are true because you trust those who taught you. Since you are a child, you have known the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, and that wisdom leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. How did Paul say we learned? By watching and following the ways of our leaders. So that's more pressure on our leaders. They have to live godly lives as examples. But that goes the same with parents of children. That goes the same for the deacons. That goes the same for all who participate. They must set an example that others can watch and follow. And they must learn. And this takes place within the fellowship of the church. Jesus gave personal instruction. He chose 12 men. And those 12 men, He taught more than just the words. But Jesus not only talked the talk, Jesus walked the walk. He set the example. In John, I have another wonderful saying. You don't preach water and drink wine. If you want people to follow in the steps of Jesus, then walk the steps yourself. But third, Timothy had a servant's reward. Verse 17 of chapter 2 says, "Your faith makes you offer your lives as sacrifice in serving God." He served God with his life. That was his sacrifice. And in Matthew 25:21, the master answered, "You did well. You are a good and a loyal servant. Because you were loyal with small things, I will let you care for much greater things. Come and share my joy." Before Timothy could be a missionary and travel with Paul, the super apostle, what did he have to do? He had to learn to small things in serving with the congregation of the Lord's church. That was the training ground for Timothy. And when we learn to handle small things, God said, "I'll give you bigger things." But why would we do all this? That we can share the joy of Christ in our lives. In all of his letters that Paul wrote, he mentioned Timothy 24 times. That's how highly he thought of this timid young man. Because Timothy was a worker. The submissive mind is not the product of an hour sermon. Not that I'm going to preach an hour today. I'll get close, but I won't quite make an hour. It's not a week seminar. It'll help. Or not even a year's service. The submissive mind grows and comes when we learn, like Timothy, to serve in the church and submit ourselves to others and to have the submissive mind of Christ. Epaphroditus. This man was a full Gentile coming to serve a Jewish man, an apostle. Even though he was apostle to the Gentiles, he was Jewish. And here, Epaphroditus was a Gentile serving a Jewish apostle. He was a member of the church at Philippi, and he risked his life bringing a love offering to Paul. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but in those days, you had to walk, usually. The wealthy could maybe ride some donkeys, but you had to walk to get somewhere. And was it easy walking? Well, remember some of Paul's journeys, what he said? I had problems from robbers. Yes, there were robbers out there. I had problems from wild animals. I can't see myself walking down Old Dixie Highway and all of a sudden have a lion jump out at me. Maybe some other things, but not a lion. They had real fears. Epaphroditus carrying a large amount of money, risking his life, and they didn't have hotels either like we do today. So the weather, when it rained, he slept in the rain. When it was cold, he froze. And when he got to Paul, we read he was sick almost to death. Epaphroditus was a servant who thought of others. First, we see he thought of Paul. Verse 18, 4 and 18, "And now I have everything and more. I have all I need because Epaphroditus brought your gift to me. It is a sweet-smelling sacrifice offered to God, who accepts that sacrifice and is pleased with it." But Epaphroditus, I'm telling you, was a balanced Christian. By that I mean, first off, we see there was a fellowship. Paul called Epaphroditus my brother in Christ. When I look out here, I see Christians. You are my brothers and my sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was fellowship in the gospel. But there was also a fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. Because he says here, he worked and served with me. And what was Paul? An apostle, but he was a missionary apostle. So Epaphroditus just didn't have fellowship. It's wonderful to have fellowship with the brothers. I love coming Sunday and Wednesday night to meet the Christians. I love to hear what's going on in their lives. And I must admit, I also like the last Sunday of the month when I get to eat with the Christians. Mainly because some of these women are fantastic cooks, and I eat things I would never ever get. And for free, it doesn't cost a penny to eat with the church on the last Sunday of the month. But also, he realized, Epaphroditus, that he was at war. Because what did Paul say? He serves with me in the army of Christ. We will have bad times as Christians. Not because we are living a Christian. Well, it's because I'm living a Christian life. But Satan will attack us. We are at war. And so Epaphroditus realized all of this. You know, sometimes I get tired of hearing complaints. People complain, oh, we don't do this, we don't do that, we could do this, we could do that, the church is getting smaller. You want the church to change? Then volunteer. You say there's no youth program, volunteer to help. Bring your children, then we'll have a youth program. You say the church isn't growing. When was the last time you invited someone to come to church? The elders bought some wonderful pamphlets. Wonderful pamphlets. Modern, well-written. They're going to stay there the next 20 years unless what happens? Unless you take them, put them in your car, and pass them out. Give them to people you know, people you don't know. Is it going to hurt you? They'll sit there forever unless you hand them out. We have been called to serve. We have been called to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. We are fellow servants of God. You want the church to grow? Invite people, pass out information in this library, some wonderful material to study with people in their homes. Check it out and use it. There are things we can do if we participate and stop being spectators. Epaphroditus was a balanced Christian. He did all of these things. But Epaphroditus was also a burdened Christian because he was concerned about people. Epaphroditus almost died bringing money to Paul. What was he worried about? Does anybody know what he was worried about? The people at home knew he was sick and almost died. Epaphroditus was worried about them. He could care less that he was sick and almost died. The Christians are worried about him. He wanted to go home to comfort them. Can you believe this kind of a servant attitude? That was Epaphroditus. He was a burdened Christian. It's easy to complain. It's much harder to take a step and do something about it. You want to improve things? Then volunteer to do it yourself. Then stop complaining. This was a man who was burdened for his own home congregation. Are you burdened for your home congregation? Do you want true fellowship? Do you want to see the church grow? It's possible. Do you want to see love? Then love first. Epaphroditus and Timothy knew what it meant to sacrifice and to serve, because these are the marks of the submissive mind, the mind of Christ. And these men were blessed Christians. They knew what it meant to know joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Now, brothers and sisters, we ask you to appreciate those who work hard among you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. Respect them with a very special love because of the work they do. Live in peace with each other. Epaphroditus knew this truth, and Epaphroditus knew joy. Do you want to know joy? Do you want to know what it means to have true fellowship? And learn the submissive mind of Christ. Be ready to serve. Will you permit the servant to produce this mind in you? Then let me read to you what you need to do. Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourself from this evil world. He begged them. Then these people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the numbers of believers that day. And what do? They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. Jesus is calling you this morning. Do you want to know the joy of Christ? Then come and learn the servant and submissive mind of Jesus Christ.